On this bonus episode of Cards Subject to Change, the boys embrace the mist as they welcome another Black and Brave graduate and SCW Pro Star to the studio. He is the current 3XW Pure Champion, the CEW Champion. JT Energy is here talking about all things wrestling with Nick and CZ. As always, Card Subject to Change is part of the For Frequency's Sake podcast network, where you can subscribe for new episodes of us, The Data Lab, Educated Ignorance, and other great podcast content. Now here they are, your tag team hosts, CZ and Nick. Nick, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great. I was at a loss for words for that very, very flattering intro. I was pondering what you thought there. I'm like, wow, that's a very nice intro. Thank you. Good intro. I'm doing great. Bonus episode here, like the wizard said, the Card Subject to Change podcast. Bonus episode, and the reason being, we got an interview here tonight, don't we, CZ?
We do. It feels like we were just in the studio a couple of hours ago, and that's probably because we were. But let's give a big welcome to our guest today, JT Energy.
Hello, I am here, ready to have some good times and talk some wrestling.
I love it. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. This is actually my second podcast of the day as well. I usually don't double book myself, but today apparently I really wanted to talk to multiple people about pro wrestling, which is never a bad thing.
No, we Nick and I can go on for days talking about wrestling on end. So I'm glad you were able to squeeze us in. I know we've been trying to get you on the show for a couple of weeks now. Just hasn't come to fruition until today.
Yeah, all the stars aligned today. We got everything exactly the way we needed it to.
We did indeed. So, JT, I'm going to get the ball rolling here and start where we seem to end up starting with all of our guests and just ask you what brought you into wrestling as both a fan and eventually as a professional wrestler?
Well, as a fan, I'm old enough to be one of those kids that was taken to the video store by his mom on the weekends to be able to rent a movie or rent a video game. So that's where I always say that my fandom came from, because being able to walk into a video store and see those Coliseum home videos or that big wall of Nintendo or Sega, any of those things, like, it was just quite a time to be alive when it came to being able to see those amazing Coliseum home videos that made you pick them up, look at those amazing drawn covers, and then, you know, grabbing a video game while you're at it. But those video games back in the day, they didn't quite as hook you as they would 10 years later. But those Coliseum home videos from the early 90s, I feel like that's where all my fandom really started at.
And I can tell you just popped Nick on the other end of the line here.
Yeah, you did. You just painted a wonderful picture of a part of my youth, walking into the video store and picking up those covers. What my question to you is being, and thank you for painting that picture. I'm like, I'm sitting here going, yes. What's the first VHS cover you think of when you walk into that video store? What's the first cover, the first artwork that pops you in the face?
To me, the one that always sticks out the most, whether it was the first video that I rented or not, I believe was the, it might have been the 93 Rumble. Is that the one where everybody's lined back?
And they're walking down the street?
Yeah, that's, to me, that's the most iconic cover because it's artwork and pro wrestling mixed together. The cover for WrestleMania 5 and WrestleMania 6, I think, are extremely iconic. But that Rumble one, to me, that one stands alone as one of the most iconic pictures to just stop. Because when you pick it up, you're looking at all those guys on the cover trying to figure out who they are and how far back it goes and which ones you can see and which ones you can't. That one is the standalone best Coliseum video cover to me when it comes to something that stopped me in my tracks.
Yes. So we're talking about VHS. Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, I was just trying to think, like, the guys on the front of that, I'm trying to think. Hogan had to be there still in 92. I want to say the Road War or Legion of Doom was on that. Texas Tornado. Like, that image just popped into my head. You're right. That is one of the most iconic, like, images for a pay-per-view that I remember growing up.
Sorry, it's the 1991 Royal Rumble cover. That's which one it is. I just pulled that up here. Okay. It's got Hogan right in the front, Macho Man right in the front, Warriors in the front. It looks like Boss Man's in the front. So you got four definitive characters, all these bright colors, and then you start to get people right behind them. We've got Sergeant Slaughter, Texas Tornado, Earthquake, Tugboat, tons of characters larger than life just walking down the street.
You're getting me excited to ask this next question here. So we're back. You're checking out these Coliseum home videos. Who do you gravitate towards? Who's your favorite wrestler during this time?
During that time, it was very easy to really enjoy someone like the Ultimate Warrior, just based on his character, as in like his energy that he brought to it. I really did enjoy the Macho Man, but the Macho Man was going to play both sides of the card over the next couple years during that time. So you had the Macho King and then turning into the Macho Man, whereas the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan, they were through and through baby faces that you could sit there and root for all the time. Macho Man was so cool. He played the heel side when I was younger as well. So I couldn't get behind him, but I loved the way that he looked with his outfits.
Okay, follow up to that. You know, you're talking about Macho Man playing both sides of the fence. You're getting into the wrestling. You're starting to follow along. You're really enjoying it. Who is the first heel that you gravitated towards? When did you start appreciating the bad guys?
Oh, I don't think I had a chance to like appreciate the bad guys till quite a bit later. I think once we jump to the following year's Royal Rumble, and you get to see Flair run almost from start to finish, coming in at number three. The 92 Rumble isn't necessarily the best Rumble in the world, but the thing that gets it for me is the fact that Flair comes in so early, and then you have Bobby Heenan's commentary really driving home that he wants Flair to win. It's do or die. And having Bobby Heenan in those color commentator positions, when I go back and listen, I could watch any match. It doesn't matter who it is. And if Bobby Heenan's on the mic, I know I'm going to have a good time.
Oh, my goodness. You hit the nail on the head. And when you talk about the 92 Rumble with Flair winning it all, you go back and watch the post-match promo where it's backstage. You got Flair, you got Perfect, and you got Heenan. It's pure magic. And that's when Flair cuts the tear in my eye promo. But when Flair makes the final elimination in that Royal Rumble and becomes the new champion, Bobby Heenan screams the word yes 28 times in a row without interruption from any of the other announcers. And it's just one of those things that, like, it's a pure Bobby Heenan moment. He is the heel announcer smearing it in your face. And he's going to scream yes until he can't scream it anymore. I love it.
That is some of the most, it's what sucked me in to a lot of that early professional wrestling, is that I had my straight color commentator like Gorilla Monsoon that would fill me in with so much. But I had Bobby Heenan right there that was, not only was he telling me about the heels in the match, but a lot of times he was associated with them somehow. And it seemed like he had a personal vendetta against some of the baby faces. And because of that, I bought into it more, because it seemed like he had his own means to justify, while people like Jesse Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon were there to defend these guys. But I could feel the hatred that was coming from Bobby Heenan towards people like Hulk Hogan. And it felt like it carried on until the day that Hulk Hogan turned his back. And he joined the NWO, and Bobby Heenan is sitting there storytelling, saying, "I knew it all along. I knew it all along." It was like he waited his whole career to tell you, "I knew Hogan was a piece of crap, and now it's right in front of us."
You took the words right out of my mouth, because Heenan's animosity towards Hogan as a commentator carried on all the way through the NWO. He never let up, but he was always rooting for the guys you wanted to hate. And that was just fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. So when it comes to me becoming a fan, home videos, that's where I became a fan. I would pick up those Nintendo games, but the Nintendo games, they just didn't, they couldn't suck you in the way that they would many years later. So those VHS tapes are what I lived and breathed and died on. And those first couple WrestleManias, they just couldn't stand up to what they did with the cover art later. So it was very hard for me to want to watch WrestleMania 1 or WrestleMania 2. By the time that we got to WrestleMania 4, 5, 6, 7, that's when they started to really get into the bread and butter of the 90s with these characters that I fell in love with.
You want to, talking here with JT Energy on the Card Subject Change podcast, and one thing you kind of, you mentioned Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man, their presentation. Are there any other wrestlers you channel with your presentation? You know, presentation is a big part of wrestling. It's also a big part of the whole JT Energy experience. Are there any other guys you're channeling besides, you know, Macho and Ultimate Warrior out there with presentation?
I would say I usually gravitate towards certain people in those eras. And I did, when I first started off my career, I tried to look at a lot of influence from Rick Rude, because he was one of my favorite heels that stood out during that early time period. He's one of those guys that carried himself in a specific way. And when I broke in with my career, I looked at a lot of how he carried himself in the way that I could carry myself in the ring to make sure that, you know, people hated me just as much as they hated him.
That is a fantastic answer. And I'll be honest with you. I got a chill when you said Rick Rude, and I'm picturing you coming to the ring doing what you do, and I'm picturing Rick Rude, and it all just fits together so nice.
Making sure at a certain point I could look out at all the crowds, especially the Iowa crowds, when I was playing that heel character to its fullest, letting them know that they all were sweat hogs, just like Rick Rude would say.
So we're talking about Rick, go ahead, Nick.
I was just gonna say, and Rick Rude made it so cool to throw insults at larger women, did he not? I mean, that was funny back in the day, even though he was the bad guy.
Yeah, being able to just get a couple one-liners across and make fun of a couple people in the crowd to get everybody against you, but you really can't deny Rick Rude, because he looked like $1 million, and then he had the airbrush tights, which no one else had, and he could sell his ass off.
So we're talking about you channeling your inner Rick Rude coming to the ring. I have a feeling I know the answer to this already. You've been more of the heel in the time that I've seen you than the face. Do you prefer working heel to face when you're in the ring?
Well, the beauty about being a heel or being a bad guy when it comes to professional wrestling is most of us have 9-to-5 jobs that we have to do our best at, put our customer service faces on. But I lived so many years of my life being such a nice guy in my 9-to-5 that when I had the opportunity to become a heel and really just walk out in front of a crowd of people, any of that pent up aggression that I had from that work week, I had no problem letting out on all these people that were standing there just thinking that they were better than me, and JT Energy letting you know that he didn't give a damn about you, and it was your time to pay attention to him.
No, absolutely. And, you know, that being said, your character, you've got, I said off the top of the show, we are embracing the mist today. Talk to us about that. Where did your whole embrace the mist coming out with the spray bottle, where did that stem from?
So I had a tag team match in a promotion in Illinois. It was called Funky Monkey Wrestling. It was a group that they had just over in Sterling, Illinois. And I teamed up with a guy by the name of Pat Monix. And his thing at the time is he was the wettest professional wrestler. And I thought to myself, I go, okay, this is kind of funny. Because at the time, there were so many people that were like so oiled up and dripping wet. I did not oil myself in any way. I didn't get wet before I went out there. And when I teamed up with him that night, I thought to myself, okay, this is kind of cool. I see what we're doing here. And after that match, he stepped away from doing that kind of character, that kind of gimmick. And I thought, well, if I do this, why don't I just do it to the nines? I'll turn it up to 11. So that way I am the personification of coming to the ring, talking about, you know, the six-star booty at the time. And when I transitioned away from the six-star booty, the thing that I didn't want to take away from myself was my mister that I brought to the ring. And I didn't just stick with a traditional spray bottle. I found different styles of mister. And when I eventually realized that I was going to become the unsolved mystery, I knew I could take the mister bottle that I bring to the ring with me, and I could turn that into part of what my character is. So I've just evolved that thing that I carry to the ring over time, just to get more and more elaborate with it.
I love it. And I've watched you, you and I have known each other for a number of years, going to see you watching you work at SCW. And I've watched the evolution of that mist bottle. But JT, we're going to take a quick time out here. We do have to pay some of our dues to our podcast brethren. So I'm going to play a quick promo and we'll be right back. Okay.
Sounds good.
Make sure you tune into For Frequency's Sake on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch each Sunday during the football season from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The boys from For Fantasy's Sake will be bringing the fire fantasy football takes, updating you on the week's rankings and injuries, and getting you ready for your fantasy football matchups each and every week. The show is interactive, so be sure to send your questions. You can find them at For Frequency's Sake on Facebook, at FFSQC on Twitter, or you can send them an email at forfantasysakeqc@gmail.com.
Hey, we're back here on the Card Subject to Change podcast, and joining us tonight is JT Energy. And before we went to break, we spoke about names such as Macho Man Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior, Rick Rude. We were talking about the myth, embracing it, the myth bottle. Who today, in today's, you know, wrestling world, we, you know, we look back, let's look at current day now. Obviously, we know who you've been trained by, but who are guys that you are looking at, you know, presently, you guys that you, you know, dig their work or whatever, and you know, maybe someone of those that maybe want to embrace the mist, and you, someone you'd like to work with currently that you haven't worked with yet.
Well, there's, sure, there is a plethora of people out in there in this wrestling world, from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, that continue to get my attention. And with the things that have popped up in the world of professional wrestling recently, there is a gentleman that I think got everyone's attention, very recently, and he popped up on, he popped up on AEW for a hot second, just in the background, but he has been there a little bit more, and he goes by the name of Luigi Primo. He is the best pizza chef. Luigi Primo is something that I would love to get in the ring with. His viral video went crazy. That thing has over 6.3 million views of him wrestling and making pizza at the same time. And if I think to myself, could I entertain a crowd and have the best night of my life with Luigi Primo? The answer is absolutely yes.
I've seen that personally. That is a great video. I don't know how he does that, maintains spinning the pizza while he's in the wrestling ring. Let me kind of follow up off of that a little bit here. So you mentioned that he showed up in AEW recently. Well, a few months ago, you yourself showed up in AEW. You are on Dark Elevation. If I'm remembering correctly, you got yourself knocked out by Luchasaurus. Talk about that experience for me, being on AEW yourself.
It was quite the night. There was plenty of ups and downs, from taking a huge punch by Luchasaurus in the back, just trying to protect, you know, good friend Christian Cage, trying to make sure to protect him. Luchasaurus left me laying. But not only that, I was appearing on AEW Dark Elevation, stepping into the ring with my tag team partner, the Buns of Steel, Jay Fowler, who I have quite the history with here in Iowa professional wrestling. But I did not know that night how popular the Acclaimed were becoming. And when the Acclaimed's music hit in the Target Center in Minneapolis, I looked at my partner and said, "We are in trouble." Because that place was rocking and they were ready to hear Max start his rap. They wanted to get the scissors. And I think we got to face them right as they were exploding as a tag team. And it was short and it was sweet, but having him tell that entire crowd of almost 20,000 people that I look like a broke ass Christopher Daniels. Well, that's one of those career highlights that I guess I can't ever get away from.
And I'll be honest with you, JT, part of my prep for this show, I literally had that match on a half an hour ago, right before we went on the air, just because I loved the Max Caster rap. I watched almost all of the show, but not just because you were there. There were some of your brethren who are also Black and the Brave graduates on that show, and it just... it amazes me that so many people who are coming out of the Quad Cities from Seth Rollins' training school are making it onto not necessarily the biggest stage of, say, Dynamite or Raw and SmackDown, but onto shows like Dark Elevation. And that opens the door for you guys in the future to go even further than that.
Oh, absolutely. We've appeared on all kinds of professional wrestling. I mean, there have been Black and Brave students that have been used in matches on Monday Night Raw, on SmackDown. We have currently one of the tag teams in NWA. There is a man in one of those tag teams that is from the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy. You're going to see people, one of the ladies like Heather Reckless, pop up pretty frequently on AEW Dark Elevation. So there's a lot of people here within the Midwest that, whether you know it or not, one or two times a year, you're going to probably see them pretty consistently popping up in those bigger promotions for a cup of tea. And we may not be there for long, but that doesn't mean that we're there just doing it as a paycheck. We're there to try to do what we can to get people's eyes on us, to make sure that they know that we have been trained appropriately as professional wrestlers and we can put on a good show, whether it be long or short.
Absolutely.
Going back, JT Energy here, as we talked to JT on the Cartoon Change podcast, you talk about being called a broke-ass Christopher Daniels by, you know, Max Caster, the Acclaimed, and the roar of the crowd. Hey, any pub's good pub, right, when that happens?
Absolutely. Any publicity is good publicity, whether it's good or bad. You can put me down, you can talk me up, but as long as people remember me, that's all I asked for.
And, you know,
I love the story that you shared. I love the story that you shared there. Can you share something maybe that happened backstage, you know, roaming the halls before or after the show? That was kind of a cool, holy crap moment.
Well, one of the things that it didn't hit me at first, but it took me a second to look back and kind of realize what was going on there. So a couple things. That was the night that CM Punk first came back from his foot injury that he had had. And I didn't put two and two together because we were getting dressed in the hall. And then I see Punk walk by and I'm like, oh, that's awesome, Punk's here. And then when he came out later and they said, oh, he's back from his injury, I was like, oh my god, he is back from his injury. I forgot that he was even out, but he had broken his foot and he had left for a little while, and I was very excited to see that he was there that night, returning to AEW. But it was quite the locker room that night. Being able to watch Bryan Danielson walk by you, seeing Chris Jericho roam the halls, Britt Baker, it was quite the experience. But one of the things that we were in the backyard of Minnesota, and one of the gentlemen who is from that area is Eric Redbeard. And Eric Redbeard and myself have a little bit of a history with one another from a match on Monday Night Raw. And then we also had a return match at Central Empire Wrestling. And he just happened to be there that night. And he walked by me once and he kind of looked at me and didn't do anything. But the second time he walked by me, he stuck his hand out and was like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I was like, "Pretty good, man. I'm just glad you're not here kicking my ass tonight." And he goes, "Well, last time we were in the ring, if I remember right, you kicked my ass." And I just laughed real hard because it's fun. It's fun to think that even though we've touched only a couple times, he does remember the experiences that we've had. So I was really happy to see his face backstage since we've had a chance to share things a couple times. So I had a WWE experience with Eric Rowan, and when I got to have my AEW experience, he was right there in the locker room one more time, standing next to me. He was tag teaming with Danhausen that night, but it was still nice to see a familiar face to tie my little pro wrestling story together.
You actually read my mind when you started talking about Eric Redbeard, because that's where I was going to go next, is kind of compare your time working in AEW with a few years ago when you were in WWE. Not only did you have that match on Raw with Eric Rowan, but correct me if I'm wrong, weren't you one of the people carrying Baron Corbin to the ring at a TLC pay-per-view back in 2019?
Oh, yes. That was quite the weekend. Let me tell you about that. So that weekend itself was nuts, because that was the time period that King Corbin was very deep in a feud with the big dog Roman Reigns. And that Friday night on SmackDown, he was getting ready to, I believe he was beating up on Kofi Kingston, and they were getting ready to pour dog food all over him. And of course, who comes out? Roman Reigns. And he sends King Corbin's security. So we go running at Roman Reigns, and what's he do? He takes my head off, kicks my face clear off my shoulders practically. And I'm down there just dead as a dog and trying to think to myself, okay, recovering. Because I think that night, that was Friday for SmackDown. So we're in Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken. I think we're in Madison. So I get my face kicked off by Roman Reigns. The next night, I got to be back in the Quad Cities because SCW has their local show that night. And I think I was in a fatal four-way match. And it was myself, there's a gentleman by the name of Zeke Andino, who was from Australia, maybe Cornboy, I think, might have been there. And then we had Santa Claus, who was in the match. And Santa Claus beat me that night by giving me a Vader bomb. So I get my face kicked in by Roman Reigns on Friday. I lose to Santa Claus on Saturday. And then I have to drive the next day for the TLC pay-per-view, all the way back up to Minneapolis. And here we are, carrying Baron Corbin out to the ring one more time. Except this night, Roman Reigns gets his hands on kendo sticks, and he lays into me in the gut with a kendo stick.
Oh, no!
And when I watch that TLC pay-per-view back, he gets ready to hit me again. So he's going to come back around. He's going to smash me right in the back with this kendo stick. And right as he winds up to hit me, we have the Revival runs down and starts beating on him. And in that moment, I was like, thank God he did not hit me in the back, because he would have cracked me so hard. Now, a lot of people forget at the end of that TLC pay-per-view, Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin and all these people that are in this feud, they start brawling out from the back into the crowd, and Roman spears Corbin off the second tier of this crowd into this huge group of guys, which we were all there. So that TLC pay-per-view event was nuts. It was all over the place. The next night we drive down to Des Moines for Monday Night Raw. And because it was a special episode where they were filming 2 weeks in a row because of the holiday season, they filmed the live Raw, which Eric Rowan fought Dante Leon. And then on the secondary episode, that's where I got to have my moment and be right there in that WWE ring against Eric Rowan. And I can't ask for a better spot than what I got, because it wasn't just kind of what you see on TV right now with Omos, where guys are just getting beat up. It's I had something to hold on to. I had the candy cane thing. I had the cage thing. I had my TV time to make sure people saw me and got to really ask themselves, who's this guy? Why does he look that way? Before I was being called a broke ass Christopher Daniels in AEW, if you go back to that original clip of me and Eric Rowan and you start scrolling through the YouTube comments, there was people that were calling me a broke ass Christopher Daniels in 2019 before Platinum Max Caster did it in AEW. So when he said it in AEW, I was like, you must have been reading the YouTube comments because people have been calling me this for years. So I think someday it's only right that me and Christopher Daniels have a Spider-Man moment where we sit in the ring together and just point at each other.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Take a look at the names you worked with in that weekend. And you can view it as you getting your ass kicked by those guys, but you can also view it as, hey, it's part of the process. I'm putting these guys over, and I'm doing it with a lot of eyes on me. So in part, I mean, it can be a double-edged sword, but it also can help you, the other way is, doubly as well.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime I'm involved in any of those events where I'm working with people at such a high caliber, I'm doing it in the aspect of I want my trainers, I want the people that have invested their time into me to help me learn in professional wrestling, to see those segments and give me honest feedback on how I did. Did I maximize my time? What could I have done better in those roles? Because a lot of times, as long as you're doing your job and in what's needed in those moments, that's all they can ask for. And I don't ever try to go into business for myself, because that's not something that you need to do at that level. You need to do your job and do it right. And the more that you do that, the more that you'll get those opportunities for the future.
Very much so. JT, we're going to take one more quick time out here. Talk about the websites for our For Frequency Sake team, and then we'll be right back.
In addition to bringing fire on the mic, the team at For Frequency Sake is still bringing it online as well. Check out ForFantasySakeQC.com this season for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each and every week of this football season. Again, that is ForFantasySakeQC.com for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each week during the football season.
All right, we are back with more of Card Subject to Change, talking with JT Energy. Before we took that break, JT, you were talking about, wanting the feedback from the people who trained you in those big moments. What is your relationship with, say, Merrick Brave, Seth Rollins? I know you're still a big part of SCW. Do you have that? We've asked this of other wrestlers who have graduated out of the Black and the Brave Academy. Are you on good terms with Seth? Is he contacting you like he is everybody else? The proud papa moments and checking in with you and all that?
If I were to reflect on that, on how I view Colby, I will look at Colby kind of like he's my Professor X, right? And I'm part of the X-Men.
Yes. So
I am always, I'm out doing what's needed against the world of professional wrestling. And when I feel like I have something that I've reached deep inside me and I cannot find that answer for, and I'm ready to get that feedback that's necessary or unlock something to go to the next step or make me feel like I can get more out of this if I get feedback from someone who is at the highest level, that's when I will seek the advice of my Professor X, Mr. Colby Lopez, Seth Rollins. I usually don't bug him that often, but every now and then, if I have a really good match or I'm really kind of stuck in a scenario and I'm not sure where to go, that's when I try to pick his brain, because he does have a ton of professional wrestling knowledge, but I make sure that when I go to him, it's for the means that I have to turn to him. because I have so many things at my disposal that I've got over the years from my trainers, like Merrick Brave, like Matt Mayday, Crotch. Those people have taught me a ton of stuff, but there is only certain stuff that I'm going to seek out his advice on. So every now and then I will pull my Seth Rollins card and say, okay, let's see what Wrestle Dad has to say about this one. But I do those few and far between just to be as respectful of that man's time as possible, because I know he's a very busy guy. So I just try to stay in my lane. But there is one thing that I know, and that's that he keeps an eye on all of his Black and Brave wrestling kids. Anything that we're doing, whether it be on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, he's got his eye on everybody, and you know, continues to give little bits of feedback or even ask questions himself to kind of stay in the loop when he can.
And I know Nick's got a question for you, but I just, before he asks his next question, I just want to say I love that you referred to him as Wrestle Dad. That is the best term I've ever heard in reference to Mr. Seth Rollins from anyone we've talked to.
Yeah, anytime that you get trained by somebody, that person becomes your Wrestle Dad. And because Seth was trained by Danny Daniels, who runs AEW, in theory, that's my wrestling grandpa, because he's the one who taught my Wrestle Dad, and who taught Danny Daniels was Al Snow. So he would be my wrestling great grandfather if you were to follow that lineage back one by one. But that's kind of how it goes. And one of the just little things that you hear people talk about in the world of professional wrestling when they get trained.
Well, JT, I love the comparison you made with Colby or Seth being Professor X. Obviously, that makes you an X-Men. So a two-part question here. What X-Men are you, and what installment of the X-Men series are you going to you're putting yourself into? Who are the X-Men that are with you?
Well, if I have to go with what speaks to my heart the most, I am part of the animated series X-Men that I watched as a young kid. That is my only X-Men that I usually will reference.
That is the right answer.
I have watched all the other X-Men, but the fact that I don't get to hear the
That scene is a banger. It still bangs.
Yes, absolutely. Now, when it comes to that,
oh my gosh, it's so good.
I don't feel like I am a Cyclops, because Cyclops seems like he is the white meat baby face. He feels like the guy that's been the good guy from day one. He's the good guy from day one. And I don't necessarily know if I identify with someone like Wolverine or Beast, because Beast is this big, kind of quiet, docile guy. And Wolverine is really the jerk. He can get the job done. And so I could see where I could identify with some of him. But really, I feel if I'm going to pick someone from the X-Men that I identify with, usually it's Gambit.
Yes.
Gambit is my guy, because Gambit is kind of suave and sexy and smooth. And he doesn't do anything too crazy outlandish, but he's always like, he was swooning the ladies. He was always like giving a wink to Rogue. And then at the same time, he would be right in the action. But he never had to, he didn't have to run the show like Cyclops. And he didn't have a hot head like Wolverine. But he was always right there. And whenever you saw him kind of pull out his staff and throw those playing cards in that intro, you're like, damn, who's that guy? He just had this suaveness about him that was so cool.
I knew right where you were going as soon as you started talking. Sorry, Nick.
No, I love the answer. I love the ambit. He also had the French accent, which was that's always holding with the girls.
Yeah, that's just the little pieces. And during that time period of growing up, I can't tell you how much money I dumped into Marvel trading cards, trying to collect all that stuff. And I still have all my old Marvel trading cards, and the artwork that went into all of those, that's part of what I try to bring into JT Energy still. I want people to see the different incarnations that I put out there for people. And I want them to see those characters and to see those pictures that I've cultivated and then want to come see me in person to see if I live up to the hype of what I've created online for you to see.
So you're talking about putting things into your persona and different characterizations of JT Energy. I want to go back in time a little bit and talk to you about Vicious and Delicious. You and Jossi, former SCW Tag Team Champions. My first question in there, do you prefer wrestling as a signal or as a tag?
Oh, man, it is rough to answer that question, because the amount of years I had doing the Vicious and Delicious, the fun that we had, it didn't feel like it was real sometime, the way that we went out there and we entertained. Now, the freedom that I've had to cultivate things as a single star, I have thoroughly enjoyed. But there are days where I do miss being a tag team pro wrestler. And I had a cup of tea with Augustus Draven in the Miss Knight Society, with a couple tag team matches here and there. But the chemistry that Vicious and Delicious had was unmatched. There was a point in time where I thought myself and Jossi, I didn't understand what we were doing, still hanging out in SCW, when I thought we could have been places getting the world on fire with the momentum that we had. Now, I think personally, myself and Jossi are one of the, if not the most decorated tag team in SCW Pro history. And throughout my career in SCW, myself and Jossi, we have interwoven our stories multiple times as we've been a tag team. We've fought over the Iowa Championship. We've had some absolute bangers. Even this last year with my huge blow-off match that I had with Merrick Brave, Jossi ended up in that match tying his portion of the story of Vicious and Delicious in our trio of Stylin' and Defilin' with Merrick Brave. I love my single stuff, but sometimes that tag team action, it's cultivating magic with four people in a ring versus two people. And sometimes that's hard to match in singles.
And I'm glad you were talking about your chemistry with Jossi, because in my mind, you guys are so intertwined, whether you're partners or whether you're going against each other. Because when I was really coming to the shows, when I had the ability to actually go out to SCW Pro, which with my job right now and things as they are, and of course COVID over the last couple of years, I haven't been to a live show in, it's been at least a year for me, but anytime I heard the song Pony hit the airwaves at an SCW Pro show, whether you guys, knowing you guys were the heels there, I was so excited because I knew it was just going to be a banger of a match, because you guys are so good together. Like I said, whether you're opponents or whether you're partners. One of my biggest memories, one of my favorite shows was when you guys were against each other at the Rust Belt, and you came out with the I'm blanking on the name of your security team.
The booty guards.
The booty guards. Yes. That was so well done.
I think that's some of the stuff that myself and Jossi, some of the things that we think about. I think the reason that people are so entertained, or we like to kind of toot our own horns, is when it comes to professional wrestling matches and the moments that we are creating, we don't just think about the match. We think about everything from the moment that our music hits to the moment that we leave, because we aren't worried about putting on the best professional wrestling match. We are worried about creating the moment that is going to leave you talking about us for the next couple weeks, the next couple months. And that night at the Rust Belt, we knew that we had the opportunity to do something special. And my favorite thing about that match is that some of the SCW Pro fans, they said that that was the absolute match of the year. And that same night, Merrick Brave came out of retirement to compete in a six-man tag team match. And I know that Merrick Brave was like, are you kidding me? These two kids put on a match that stole the show when I came out of retirement. And I was so proud to know that we worked our asses off to make sure that we stole the show that night. And this year, when I had a chance to face Merrick Brave, I told him the same thing. I was like, we're going to go out there and we're going to tell a story. And this time me and you are going to have the match of the year that everybody's talking about.
And that happened at Wildwood a couple months ago, correct?
Oh, absolutely it did.
I wish I had been there to see that. I was watching the build online between you guys, and Wildwood's a little out of my wheelhouse to get to right now. And like I said, my job Saturdays, I'm working until usually about 5 o'clock, but I'm always out of town. I'm at least 2 hours from the Quad Cities and having to drive home. So it's hard to get into those shows. But yeah, that everything I heard about your match with Merrick from over the summer was phenomenal, as much so as what we just talked about with you and Jossie at the Rust Belt.
And that's what I try to do. It might only be SCW Pro, but I'll be damned if when at the end of the year they don't put out that cute little questionnaire that says, who is your favorite superstar? Who is the best whatever? Who is the best this? I don't care if it's just SCW Pro. If I'm going to hang my hat on something as a professional wrestler, I'm not trying to have the WWE best match of the year. But in SCW Pro, I absolutely every year will try to figure out how my story was the best story of the entire year that the fans continue to follow, because I want that momentum to carry into the next year. I'm always thinking ahead. And since I have debuted with Vicious and Delicious, when I came in 2016, JT Energy was voted the Rookie of the Year by the fans. And then Vicious and Delicious had the Match of the Year. And then Vicious and Delicious had the Match of the Year again. So I have had a hell of a time trying to make sure that I one-up myself year after year. And, excuse me. Right now in SCW Pro, I have made my intentions known that I am coming for Connor Braxton. And I'm coming for the SCW Pro Championship.
That's the only championship you haven't held in SCW, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Absolutely. I am a 3-time SCW Pro Tag Team Champion. I am one of, if not the longest reigning QC Cup Champion. I am a 2-time Iowa Pro Champion, and I have never won the SCW Pro Heavyweight Championship. So it is locked in my sights, and it doesn't have to be tomorrow. It doesn't have to be next month. But that is one of the things that before my career is over, I will stand in that ring and I will hold and I will make sure that when I am champion, it's going to be a reign that people talk about for years.
And before, I know Nick has a few more questions for you that he wants to ask before we wrap up, but I would be remiss, since we're talking about your championship reigns, not mentioning the other promotions. You're the CEW champion right now, 3XW Pure champion. Talk about your championship reigns in those other companies that are right in our area here, just a little further away.
Yes, so I am also the 3XW Pure Wrestling champion, and I have 3 title defenses while being the 3XW Pure Wrestling champion, because COVID sure did put a damper on 3XW Pro Wrestling. When I won that title, I beat Jason Strife with a little bit of help of Gil Rogers, because Gil Rogers was a special referee and he may or may not have accidentally punched Jason Strife, allowing me to get the win. But a win's a win. I won that Pure Championship. Now, the first time I defended it was against Valentina Loca in what was quite an entertaining match. But of course, Miss Loca, she caught a punch to the face and a scissors kick, and it was 1-2-3. She was done. Now, my second match defending the Pure Wrestling Championship was against former WWE superstar Eugene. And you wouldn't know what was coming when you heard JT Energy versus Eugene. And I don't think me and Eugene disappointed the people of Old Wine, Iowa when we had our bout. Again, I rolled them up, 1-2-3, 2 in the books. Now, recently, just this past month, I finally had my 3rd title defense for 3XW in that Pure Wrestling Championship against Moonshine Mantell a man that is much stronger than me, much more powerful. And being the smart veteran wrestler that I am at this point, I knew things were looking pretty rough. And I realized that if I rolled out of that ring before he took my head off with a lariat, that if I left, that the champion's advantage is that I can still lose and keep my championship. And that's exactly what I did. So 3XW Wrestling, they have another event coming up December 11th. I don't know who I'm going to be defending my title against, but I'm sure Moonshine Mantell might have something to say about getting a rematch, but you never know. There could be a new competitor waiting to take that thing from me, because I have held that title now for over 1,000 days. And I keep asking myself, who in the world is going to beat me for this thing? Because at this point, it might as well just, it's been living at my house for so long. And when we think about that championship, the CEW championship has been here just as long. Now, I've had quite a few more title defenses of that one. Most notably, I have had a title defense against Eric Redbeard at Bridge City Slam. But since winning that, I've defended it against people like Donnie Pepper Cricket. I defended it against Jared Thumb, the Candyman Willie Sweet, Brandon Wallace, Kurt Gannon. I even stood toe-to-toe with, at that time, not NWA champion Trevor Murdoch. But Trevor Murdoch faced me for my CEW championship, and I beat him. I'm the last man to pin Trevor Murdoch's shoulders to the mat before he won the NWA title that he's now holding for the second time. So in 3XW and Central Empire Wrestling, I am a champion. I've had plenty of other accolades in those organizations, but I try to make sure that when it comes to the state of Iowa, people understand that I am one of the biggest names when it comes to professional wrestling.
Well, JT, it sounds like you have a claim, and I hope, you know, this gets back to Billy Corgan in the National Wrestling Alliance. I mean, you have a legit claim, right, at the current NWA champion, Trevor Murdoch.
Yes, and Trevor Murdoch, he's about to have his hands full himself, because it's going to be Trevor Murdoch against Tyrus, against Matt Cardona in a three-way match. And if we know anything, if Matt Cardona were to come out on top of that match again and hold the NWA championship again, he's got Rory Fox waiting at Central Empire Wrestling for their return match that's over 10 years in the making. So whether it be Trevor Murdoch or whether it be Matt Cardona, there's so much history associated with the NWA championship and now tied back to Central Empire Wrestling. So between the different companies that are all starting to get fired up and really run these bigger shows again, whether it be Central Empire Wrestling, 3XW Wrestling, SCW Pro, there is a lot of good stuff going on with local pro wrestling that you can come out and see that, whether you know it or not, is tied to these bigger organizations. So the more that you follow us, the more that you'll realize we're so close to being on that next level where people can see us on TV screens on a weekly basis.
All this talk of these different organizations has got me excited, of course, for our local organization here, SCW Pro. Talk about your next appearance there and when the fans can see JT Energy back here locally, if you're here listening in the Quad City area.
Well, if you want to see me locally right here in the Quad City area, the next place that you're going to see me at is Bluegrass, Iowa. SCW Pro is making our debut in a new venue in Bluegrass, Iowa, and that is the second Saturday in November. That's the one that you want to mark off on your calendars. I know it's going to be hard to get there on time, but sometimes you just got to think to yourself, okay, how quick can I get there? And do I have $10? Because if you do, you're in luck. We're going to have a hell of a show debuting there. And if there's one thing that I like, it's coming into a new venue, because people in that town, whether they know it or not, they're going to think to themselves on that Saturday, you know what? I heard there's wrestling in town. I wonder if we should go watch it. And somebody's going to say, you know what? I got 10 bucks. Let's go. And they're going to have the time of their lives. And they're not even knowing it yet. It's going to be one of those things where we're going to get some new fans. We're going to build SCW Pro's fan base. And that's going to be one of those nights where JT Energy takes one more step closer to letting those fans know why he is ready to become the SCW Pro Heavyweight Champion. And if you cannot come out to that event, but you want to see JT Energy in the month of December, I can't announce it yet, but I am going to be doing my very first meet and greet appearance in the Quad Cities. So if you've ever wanted to walk in, have some time with me, talk shop, talk pro wrestling, talk nostalgia, buy my merchandise, it's going to come in the month of December. I am even going to take multiple things out of my personal collection of nostalgia, whether it be comic books, action figures, records, CDs. I've got some stuff personally that I'm going to be selling to the fans, so that way people can really sit and have time with JT Energy in my first ever meet and greet in the month of December.
That sounds fantastic. You'll be as soon as you announce that, we'll definitely plug for you. Being a friend of the podcast as you are, we'll get the word out, as well as I know you will too.
Absolutely.
So let's we're coming close to the hour mark here. I want to ask one last question, and this is we kind of touched on it earlier, talking about current day wrestlers who you'd like to face in the ring. Let's expand that a little bit. Any person, any time frame, any match, who are you going against? Where is it at? Talk about that.
So I always look at the world of professional wrestling in multiple different eras. And people always ask me, they go, who is your absolute favorite professional wrestler? The person that spoke to you the most during your life, that made you fall in love and hope and pray for their one day win as champion. And my all-time favorite, that if I could share the ring with one time, is Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy has been my guy from the moment that I saw him. He made me feel like the way that I dressed, the music I listened to, the things that I loved, he made me feel like it was okay. And if I could share the ring with Jeff Hardy and let him know that he helped me get through a lot of hard times in my life and help me pursue my dream as a professional wrestler, and then standing across from him, if he's ever healthy enough someday and sober enough someday that he can help the world of professional wrestling again, that's where I'd want it to be. Would it be a dream come true if it was on a bigger company stage? Absolutely. But someday, if he can come to a place like Central Empire Wrestling, 3XW Wrestling, or SCW Pro, it'll be the moment that after it ends, I might be able to just call it quits, because it'll be a dream. It'll be a dream come true to share a ring with that gentleman someday, whether he's, you know, I don't care how old he is. God, I wrestled Jerry the King Lawler when he was in his early 60s and I had the match of the night. So I just want to make sure that if I can cultivate moments in professional wrestling with people that helped shape my love through professional wrestling as I grew up, that's what I'm here for. I want to create moments alongside people that really know how to get the most out of this business.
And that would be a match that I would definitely love to see.
Give me my last question here. I want to thank you just, you know, for my private tag team. You talked about all these different organizations, and it's 2022, and in the wrestling world, there's so much going on. There's so much opportunity for wrestlers, yes and no. And there's so many outputs, you know, so many places for, you know, wrestling fans to find wrestling. Where are we going to see JT Energy a year from now? Where does JT Energy, you know, where do we see him a year from now?
So I think where you see JT Energy a year from now is probably very similar to where you're seeing him currently. But the light that you're going to see me in is going to be completely different. Now, one of the things that I challenge myself to do year in and year out is try to expand a little bit here, expand a little bit there. So that way I can have new opponents. I can have those first time matchups. I can go ahead and make my debut in a new state. And the more that I work towards my craft, I'm hoping to have another opportunity at a company like AAW Pro in Chicago. or Freelance in Chicago. Those are places in the Logan Square Auditorium that would be amazing to go back and witness. I would love to finally have an opportunity to wrestle for a company like First Wrestling in Minnesota, who just had a big, huge event at the Mall of America. Those companies that are here in the Midwest, those are the ones that I'm always watching. I know the company that normally runs in Omaha, Nebraska, Magnum Wrestling, they just had their first debut show last night in Ankeny, Iowa. They debuted in Ankeny. You had Superfly Jay Fowler, the Buns of Steel. He was facing Mike Bennett, who is on AEW TV all the time, and he's wrestling in Ankeny, Iowa. So there's a lot of places that I would like to revisit and make debuts again. So I just want to make sure that some of the people that have names that are synonymous with Iowa Pro Wrestling, my ultimate end goal by the time that I hang up my boots in a year from now, I'm trying to cultivate why JT Energy is one of the best and one of the biggest things to come out of Iowa independent professional wrestling that may have never achieved his, you know, ultimate end goal of being a career professional wrestler for WWE or AEW. But anytime that you see him on an independent scene, you just ask yourself, man, how did this guy never move up? I am perfectly content with making sure that when people come out to an independent professional wrestling show, JT Energy gives you the moment or the match of the night with how he entertained you. And being from the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy, I have the best feet that I could have ever asked for underneath me. And I also have the best people behind me to make sure that the future that I cultivate in my story of professional wrestling is exactly the way I want it when it all comes to an end.
Man, that is a fantastic answer. And that this has been a fantastic episode, JT. I want to thank you so much. We really do appreciate you coming on the show. Before we leave here, let everybody know where we can find you in the next couple of weeks and where we can find you on social media.
Well, where you can catch me in the near future, November 5th, the first Saturday in November, I will be in Waterloo, Iowa for Absolute Pro Wrestling, facing Cole Cannon in a first-time singles matchup. That is Absolute Pro Wrestling in Waterloo, Iowa. Check them out on Facebook if you want more information, or Twitter. You can also catch me that second weekend in November for SCW Pro as we make our debut in a brand new venue in Bluegrass, Iowa, making sure that I keep continuing to climb up the ranks as one of the best performers in SCW Pro. Like I said, keep your eyes on my social media for the announcements coming up with my first meet and greet that is going to happen in the Quad Cities in the month of December, where you can hang out with me and you can buy and get your hands on some very cool stuff that I'm selling, not only from my personal collection, but my wrestling merchandise. You can always go support me by checking out my Pro Wrestling Tees website, prowrestlingtees.com/JT Energy. I got upwards of 20 designs you can spend your money on. Support me, support my artists that I've teamed up with to get those designs to you. But if anything, you can follow me online, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. I try to have tons of them. I try to stay very up to date on all of them. I'm posting constantly, so that way you know what's going on with my career. You can either search JT Energy or DJ Click and Play. That's CLICK, the letter N, PLAY. DJ Click and Play or JT Energy. You can find me on all forms of social media. Definitely stay up to date on my YouTube. I'm always posting new matches and old matches. And check out the Instagram. It's where I'm always putting pictures up of my personal and professional life, so that way you can stay on this journey right there with me.
Well, JT, thank you once again. We're going to close this out, our episode talking with the broke-ass Christopher Daniels, JT Energy. Sorry I had to get that in one last time, my friend.
Oh, don't worry. If you head over to my Twitter right now, it says JT Energy, a.k.a. Mistifer Daniels.
Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you. That's going to close out.
That's going to close out the show for the day. So grateful to have JT Energy on. Look for us next week. We'll be talking about Crown Jewel from the WWE. Give our thoughts and feelings on that premium live event. You can find me at the Wizard CZ on Twitter. Nick is at NickBull55. The show is at CTST Podcast. And you can also find us on Facebook by searching for Cards Subject to Change Podcast. For Nick, for JT Energy, I am CZ. We wish you all a good evening, and thanks for tuning in.